Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Hopefully, everyone had a great Christmas, safe Christmas, and is ready for, New Year's Eve week. Look at this. Let's say fight week, New Year's Eve week. And we have that coming up in just a couple days, 2021, almost behind us. So we're going to continue our look back at the year that was with part three of my year in review MMA series with Paul Fontaine. This is covering Q3 of the calendar year. So this would be what, July, August, and September. And a lot of different things happened in this month, this section rather. Conor McGregor, we got to talk about Conor again. So very similar to January, Conor came back and fought Dustin Poirier and fractured his leg and said a bunch of unfortunate things. We talk about that. The interim heavyweight title was created and on the line for the UFC in a ridiculous situation. Some Bellator stuff happened. All types of fun stuff happened during this 90-ish day stretch. And again, Paul Fontaine and I break it all down as we do all the time. I don't have anything more to say. Let's get right to it. Oh, I should add one thing. So Paul and I recorded this on Christmas Eve. And I was my plan was to post on Christmas Eve. And then I got caught up with some, Christmas Eve stuff. So that didn't end up happening. So you hear some goodwill and Christmas sentiments in this episode. So those are good for any holiday, any part of the holiday season, I would say. So just keep that in mind. And yeah, without further ado, let's get right to it. Myself, Paul Fontaine. Let's see if I can try that again. Q3 of the MMA series, MMA year in review series. I should probably go to bed. Let's just get to it. Hit it. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody, even though this episode will come out the day before, but you could be listening to this Christmas. New Year's, who knows? But happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. From yours truly and the one and only, not Grinch, Paul Fontaine of WrestlingObserver.com, Fight Game Media. Paul, I appreciate you taking the time today on this good Christmas Eve. Is everything all wrapped up shopping-wise? What else you get left to do today?
I hope so. My wife usually takes care of all that. So the tree looks pretty full. So I think it's pretty done. She even buys her own presents now. And I'm like, I'm pretty useless, but I have my role and I feel it. Okay.
Good.
know your role.
No, exactly. Know your role and just pay the credit card bill. Right.
Yeah, she does that too. Well, no, I pay it. She makes the money. I distribute the money.
I see.
Yeah, I'm a kept man, but I do. See, the roles are reversed. It's 2021, soon to be 2022.
Exactly. Yeah. We're still not at that point. We've put all the presents under the tree because my daughter's 5 and would obviously get into them and things like that. But she's very excited for Santa to arrive. That's for sure. And tree will be all filled up tomorrow. Yeah, it's good.
Such a great age for a kid. You've got a wonderful day to look forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, last year when she was 4, that was she kind of understood. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. she kind of started really getting into it. And she's all about the Christmas music and all that stuff this year. So she's into it, which is good.
My grandson's 5, and he's coming over here after he gets 2, and we get to watch, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing that. We're going to my mom's house on Monday, and then we're going to my my dad's second wife's house on the same day. And we're doing all that, seeing her. Yeah, so she's gonna be Christmased out, that's for sure. And we'll have to find space to put all these new toys and things like that. Always fun. As we look ahead to 2022, we still got to look back at 2021. This is the third edition of the Year in Review MMA series. So this looks at Q3. July, August, and September. And then after the first of the year, we'll wrap the series up with October, November, December, in case anything happens in the last few days of the year, which, the news cycle these days, who knows what could happen, right? So that's why we do it after the first mm-hmm. of the year. So we look at the stretch, and this was kind of a way to set up a podcast here. It's kind of a boring stretch in a lot of ways. I think, I think August was kind of dull. We'll kick off with July, and this is probably the most interesting news of the month and so on, is that we had another McGregor fight, but kind of the aftermath of this is really just kind of sad and unfortunate, in a lot of ways. So we'll get this, we'll kick this off with July. So, UFC 264, took place in Las Vegas, Nevada, Full House, Dustin Poirier defeating Conor McGregor in their trilogy. Pretty strange way, because McGregor stepped back during the fight and his leg just went out. His ankle went out and he ended up, I believe it was a fractured tibia or a fractured ankle. I think it was a tibia was the final diagnosis and what have you. This was, and again, the aftermath of this, of course, you know, McGregor claiming that he came into it with a shattered tibia or so, like basically every excuse in the book kind of going in. It's like, oh, I came in the fight with a broken leg or something like this and I still went in it. And there's just a lot of call it delusion afterward, just about, you know, again, not just saying, hey, this happened, but just kind of just a lot of like excuses and things like that. Before the fight, things kind of got ugly. McGregor was calling out Poirier's wife, saying that, you know, his wife is like DMing him and just really kind of some, not like, you know, typical McGregor fight rhetoric, but it just seemed like it seemed like he was playing a character that had already kind of passed its expiration date in a lot of ways. It just didn't feel right. I think we, you know, on this show, we've talked a lot through the years about McGregor stuff, just how the fight weeks are so much fun and just kind of lead up and all this stuff. It just, to me, it just felt like he was playing a character and not really like the guy. And he probably was playing a character all the while. It just felt different, just kind of like almost pathetic in a way. I don't know if you had the same take.
Yeah, I mean, it was pathetic is a word. I mean, downright nasty in a way. And I think like Poirier was clearly bothered by it, and as he should have been. The wife too as well. Like they're you know, it got pretty heated in the cage, and Poirier kind of, you know, like John at him afterwards. And you know, Poirier's a pretty nice guy, you know, by all accounts. And you know, and I think even McGregor, like you talk about him being, you know, playing a character, but you know, when you get behind the character, like, you know, he's generous and, you know, he seems to, you know, care about his family and stuff like that on some level. But this is how they get, you know, they get these fights built up, and I think sometimes it's easy to get lost in the character. And the two of these guys, like, you know, and they had some heated stuff before the fight. We talked about that on the last show, you know, like him accusing him of not donating to the charity like he promised to and all that. And then, you know, and then it got heated right after. But I think, you know, even later on that night and the next day, you know, I'm sure they probably both kind of regretted the way things happened. But the way it ended, it's sure, you know, if they do want to do a fourth fight, they, you know, there's probably an excuse to do it, even though, I mean, I think everybody knows who the better man is, but I also think a lot of people are going to pay to see them fight again. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably where we're heading. And yeah, whatever. It's, you know, you called it a boring period, but I mean, this was certainly not a boring pay-per-view.
and more boring, we'll get to that in August. That's really kind of where it stood out. But to your point, a lot of people pay to watch it for a fourth time. 1.8 million people reportedly was the pay-per-view buy number there, which I believe was second best of all time. Is that right? Behind Khabib McGregor 1? Yep.
Absolutely, and the other fight they had, I think, was third.
Yeah, so these guys do big business, and obviously, so Poirier picks up the win, and obviously, at this point, there was no doubt he was going to move on. Well, there's always doubt, but kind of like little doubt that he had long past earned a lightweight title shot, which he would get in December, which we'll talk about in our final show. The rest of the show, kind of interesting card, and again, as most McGregor cards go, they kind of put on a few interesting fights, but not like a loaded show by any means. But Sean O'Malley returned. He defeated a replacement opponent, Chris Moutinho. And this one, I remember, this was a late TKO. I completely forgot this fight, and then I remembered it because Moutinho was, just kind of like a, not even a journeyman, just kind of a guy they threw in there on last-minute notice because I can't remember who O'Malley was supposed to fight, but couldn't make it. And so this kid just went in there and took a beating. I think he had like, was it a mohawk or a pink? He just had a distinct look. I remember that. And he just got his ass kicked for almost three rounds. And it was kind of a bummer at the end because he almost made it the full distance. There was no way he was going to win. But O'Malley just, I mean, he just carved this kid up. But Moutinho just would not go down. It kind of became the story of the fight in a lot of ways, was just, you know, could he survive 15 minutes? And then, some criticism of Herb Dean. I was kind of hoping he would go the distance, but then he kind of looked back and it's like, yeah, I mean, does he need to absorb another 30 seconds of punishment? I kind of can go back and forth on that one. But regardless, O'Malley picks up a win And yeah, Tai Tuivasa on the show, knocking out Greg Hardy in just 67 seconds. Continuing would be a really good bounce back year for him. And then Gilbert Burns defeating Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Kind of a lackluster co-main event there. Again, I mentioned McGregor calling out Poirier's wife. You mentioned some of the nastiness in the cage after. Joe Rogan did an interview with McGregor as he was on the ground, and he was still kind of, you know, just indignant to the whole thing and everything. Former President Donald Trump was in the arena. However, they never showed him on TV, which Dana White called a massive F-up. It was weird because, like, he was there in the social media. It was like, oh, he just showed up and what have you. And usually, they're showing guys like David Spade and like all these random like celebrities. And of course, they're not going to, it seemed like they were leaning away from not showing him, but Dana White just said they just blew it and they didn't show him. So he was there getting ready for, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, was his broadcasting debut, return to combat sports broadcasting. Oh. We'll talk about that in a minute. Dana White said right after, he wants a fourth fight between the two. And again, just a lot of delusion. There was a lot of like storylines and headlines throughout the course of the month of just the nastiness and just the DMs and all that stuff. It was just really kind of a mess there. Any other thoughts on the rest of 264? Obviously a ton of people bought it, and yeah. McGregor still a draw. I don't prescribe to a theory that Poirier is the guy that drew the pay-per-view buys, but people still like to see Conor McGregor.
Yeah. And I think what these two fights did was it did establish Poirier as, not at the level of Conor, but definitely a draw on his own, because as we're recording this, the pay-per-view a couple weeks ago looks like it did around 800,000-850,000. Mm. And really that was all built around Poirier. Oliveira's never been a draw. He's been around forever. And, if you had, told me at the beginning of the year that a Poirier Oliveira fight was going to do those kind of numbers, I'd have thought that was crazy. So clearly the McGregor fights have made Poirier a bigger star. As well, like you brought up, like Sean O'Malley being on this card and Tai Tuivasa, and they, again, both of them just recently had big wins, and I think like it's working out really nicely for UFC and having them on ESPN and them as a promotional partner, they're making new stars. Like it's crazy. The UFC, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on the next show, but like they had their biggest pay-per-view year ever, and they're doing a really good job putting these cards together and making stars on the shows that they know people are going to watch. You put a Sean O'Malley, you put a Tai Tuivasa on there in a full house, and he does his shoey. I mean, the atmosphere around his last fight, like this is building. And every time Tai Tuivasa fights, like it's going to get more and more insane until he loses, because fans just want to see him drinking those beers out of shoes, the fact that he knocked out Greg Hardy, I mean, that made it even better because everybody hates Greg Hardy. Mm-hmm. We also saw Stephen Thompson, starting, a bit of a decline and that continued as well. So this was kind of like, just like a table setter almost in a way, in addition to being like the culmination. So that's exactly what you want. You had the culmination of a trilogy series with Poirier and McGregor, which we may get a fourth. But you use those eyeballs and you make new stars. Another thing that you didn't even mention on here was we also saw the last fight of Carlos Condit. He retired a couple months later, and yeah, he lost in the prelim main event to Max Griffin. So, end of a Hall of Fame career probably there.
Yep.
And O'Malley, that was a really bad, like as you were describing it, it just all came back to me and like how badly that poor dude got beat.
He did.
And that fight should have been stopped.
Has he fought? You know, he hasn't fought since. They didn't give him another shot. No, I'm surprised.
He's 9-5. He's got a fight coming up in March against Guido Canetti. So usually when a guy takes a short notice fight, they'll give him another fight. But he wasn't even like close to being ready for UFC. And Sean O'Malley's a different level. So, yeah, we'll see how he does against Guido Canetti in March.
Let's talk about this first chunk here from July. Paige VanZant saying that she made more money from her fan site in a month than the entire UFC and bare knuckle boxing contracts combined. Alexander Gustafsson, remember him, a former UFC light heavyweight contender who retired, As we know, no one ever retires, Paul. They just take a little break, returning for a light heavyweight fight. Got booked, and then in August, he got injured and against Biavis fight against Paul Craig, and I don't think we've heard about him since. Ciryl Gane claims that the UFC offered him an interim heavyweight title fight before he fought Alexander Volkov. Again, this was leading up to an interim title fight we'll talk about in a minute. GSP, a lot of headlines throughout the course of this stretch, said he wanted to fight after his UFC deal was up in 2 years. That's crazy to think, you know, it's unbelievable. Jorge Masvidal said he was aiming to fight Nick Diaz or Colby Covington in the fall. Neither of those would happen. And Dana White thought the Leon Edwards fight was the right one to make. Still waiting for that. Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze was announced as headlining an August fight night event. Mackenzie Dern versus Marina Rodriguez was going to be headlining an October fight night event. Colby Covington, this is kind of this weird fallout with ATT, released a training video of his with Poirier, where I guess he knocked him down or something. I remember this was like, it was kind of like a big deal at the time, because again, this is kind of one of those unwritten rule type things, but also it's kind of like, what is the big deal? It's just this whole like Covington fallout with ATT, and again, him trying to stay in the headlines when not fighting. And, you know, no, it's, he doesn't really have it wasn't anything that really got like a lot of fans on his side or anything like that, put it that way. UFC announced their biggest sponsorship deal to date, $175 million deal with crypto.com. Obviously, you can see that in the Octagon quite a bit. And there's a side note for this we'll get to in just a second.
Yeah.
Nevada Athletic Commission said they were no longer disciplining fighters for marijuana. And we saw that with Florida and USADA obviously making some changes as well. So obviously well overdone for that. Overdue, rather. UFC 266 got some official fights announced. Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega, again, coming off tough. For the featherweight title was announced or confirmed. Shevchenko versus Laura Murphy for the flyweight title was confirmed. And Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler 2, a co-main event, as they would call it, at 5 rounds. This is going to be taking place what they called International Fight Week. And we'll get to those results in a second. See, this is a random one. CM Punk's 2018 loss to Mike Jackson, we learned, was overturned due to a positive marijuana test by Mike Jackson. But it was like back like so long ago, but somehow it just kind of came unearthed. I remember reading this in ESPN. We did a quick post about it for the website. It was just kind of one of these random things, like, how did that happen? And I asked Mike, I said, do you want like any comment about any of this? He's like, no. And he's like, it was so long ago, like, you know, he's just kind of like over it, you know? Kind of a weird thing there. We'll talk more about Punk in a second when it comes to MMA. And finally, for this first chunk, Dana White, a couple quotes from him, claimed that Jake Paul wanted to sign with the UFC, but that he blocked it. Fighter pay was still a thing throughout the entire, throughout the entire year, buoyed a lot by Jake Paul and his comments. We'll get more of those in a second. And then again, I just mentioned this huge crypto.com deal. Dana White, you know, they did $75,000 bonuses for UFC 264. He says, if we keep doing $75,000 bonuses, it will F up our budget. So just kind of keep that in mind. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah. I got to talk about that last part. You know, and you brought up the crypto deal, $175 million, and then $75,000 bonuses will fuck up our budget. Like, that's an extra 25K. They, you know, if you did that on every single show, that's, you know, for all six performance bonuses, that roughly works out to about $6 million for the year. And they're getting 170.
Yeah, it's nothing.
No, and they're getting 175 million from crypto that just fell out of the sky. You know, like literally, they did nothing to get that money. It's just ridiculous. Ryan and I have talked about this a lot on our podcast. Ryan Frederick, In the Clinch, available on all podcast platforms. they should have like a performance, or not even a performance bonus, but they should have a finish bonus. You know, 50 grand, like every card. Like, if you get a finish, you get 50 grand. They're making so much money. And how much better would the fights be if, you know, instead of making 12 and 12, all of a sudden you're getting 50,000 if you get a knockout? Like, these guys are going to be going nuts trying to get a finish. And so they probably end up making even more money if they did it. I don't know why, but they've done it recently, actually. Like, there was one card recently, they had 8 performance bonuses. And then there was another time, I think they gave 75, it might've been the last big card that they did. So, you know, they are loosening the purse strings a little bit, but, you know, him saying that stuff like that, just it's not even ignorant. It's just a lie. Yeah. And all it does is piss people off. And, you know, and he's already a pretty hard enough guy to like. Paige Van Zandt claiming that she makes more money. Like, what is she doing on these sites? Like, I mean, you know, I'm curious now if she's making that much money. And I heard she got like a 7-figure deal from Bare Knuckle Boxing. So, like, wow, that's good money. And that kind of, you know, some of the female wrestlers kind of probably explains why they don't want to give that stuff up either. There was, I mean, this is a total aside, but there was like a pro wrestling match that they booked on the OnlyFans. And it did like 15,000 buys.
Really?
And, you know, and and that money, all it was two women. I can't remember who they were, but they weren't like super huge names, but they both had been in like AEW. Somebody that's listening will probably tell us, but it happened in the last few months. And it's just crazy. And it just shows like how much, like, I think there's going to be a lot more of this fans giving directly to fighters, to wrestlers and all that. Like, I think that's something to keep an eye on over the next, you know, couple of years, because you know, like giving the money to the promotion then hoping that it trickles down to the fighters is not really working out too well for the fighters. And yeah, GSP, I guess we got to look forward to you know, we'll still be talking about him when we do our 2023 year in review. And Mike Jackson, I just quick note on that, he actually was scheduled to fight like twice this year on UFC cards and pulled out, late pullouts on both of them. One time it was him and one time it was his opponent, but he's not going away. And you see his tweets on the screen. He's on there almost as much as I am, you know, giving comments and scores like on the ESPN broadcast. So it's kind of cool. I get a kick out of Mike Jackson. I loved him when you had him on your show.
Yeah, he was good, very honest. And yeah, I thought his contract was like up at this point, or released.
He's got one more fight, and and so they keep scheduling him, and then something happens, and it's always the same guy, Dean Barry. Twice they were scheduled to fight this year, and he's like 4-1.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
Let's go over the rest of the month of July. UFC 267, Hazmat Chimaev officially returning against Li Jinglang. Travis Fulton, we talked about him before. Kind of this longtime MMA veteran was found dead in jail. I think this was the child porn case, if I remember. Just not a good guy. And yeah, and his life coming to an end in 2021. ESPN Plus, the price per month was going to be increasing, but the pay-per-view price not increasing. Bellator making some interesting cuts in terms of names familiar from the past. Daniel Strauss, obviously he having his legal issues throughout the year. Former bantamweight champion, or featherweight champion, I believe. Bantamweight champion.
Yeah.
If I remember. I think it was featherweight. Yeah. Liam McGeary, he was kind of a guy that was around at light heavyweight for a long time and kind of had an interesting look and thought he might have some staying power, but really just injuries. And I think he just didn't really work out. So he ended up being cut. Heather Hardy, that was a pro boxer that they thought was going to make a nice crossover, but she really wasn't that good at MMA. Taiwan Claxton, it was another one of these kind of fighters that they've been bringing along prelims and just wasn't working out. Beck Rawlings, former UFC fighter, bare knuckle fighter as well. And then Alessio Sicara, who is a UFC veteran. They brought him over for some of the shows in Italy. And also some other fighters as well. Bellator 262, Juliana Velasquez defended her, I think it was featherweight title against Denise Kielholz. I put these in here because, again, like, who even knows? And then Terrell Fortune tapped Matt Mitrione, who was released shortly thereafter. Velasquez was the one that beat Alimele McFarland, correct?
I think so.
Yeah,
because the featherweight champion is Cyborg, so she's the flyweight champion.
Flyweight champion, that's right. Is McFarland still dealing with that, the court case, and the sexual abuse or assault court case? Yeah.
And that's Kielholz is a former kickboxer.
Okay.
Glory or something.
Got it. UFC Vegas 31 results, rather. Islam Makhachev submitting Thiago Moises. And then Misha Tate returning after a long absence and a retirement. Again, no one ever retires. They just take breaks. Big win over Mary Renault, TKO victory there, and Renault retiring shortly thereafter. Speaking of bare-knuckle fighting, Rachel Ostovich picking up a unanimous decision over the aforementioned Paige VanZant. There was also this Hector Lombard-Tyron Woodley confrontation in the back regarding Woodley claiming he had like a side piece with him. It's just like these headlines. Yeah, it's just like, all right. Those two still have not clashed in any way. UFC Vegas 32 results. TJ Dillashaw returning, edging out Corey Sandhagen in a pretty tight split decision and injured his knee in the process. We learned at UFC 268 we'd get Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington 2, and also the much-discussed Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje fight. Bellator announced they're going to be returning to London for the first time since pre-pandemic with a headliner of Douglas Lima versus MVP 2. Amanda Nunes, the featherweight and bantamweight champion of the UFC in women's divisions, out of UFC 265 due to having COVID. Holly Holm announced she was returning to featherweight for an October fight. UFC Vegas 33 results. Sean Strickland continuing his strong push in his in the 185-pound division, defeating Uriah Hall by decision. And then Bellator results. AJ McKee submitting Patricio Pitbull in the first round. Kind of a surprise there to win the featherweight title. $1 million. This was the end of the featherweight Grand Prix. This was held at the Forum in Los Angeles, I believe. Kind of a big moment for them. You know, relatively big in terms of you know, Bellator stature, but McKee is a guy that seems to be have some staying power, undefeated. Someone that, you know, I assume at some point is going to come to the UFC just because bigger spotlight and what have you. But I think we're a little ways away from that. But yeah, that wraps up July. Thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, a lot of Bellator stuff there. The Bellator 263. I mean, you talked about you know, the fact that it was a relatively big moment. I think the fight itself did 177,000 viewers on Showcase on Showtime, and they only averaged 85,000 for the show. Like, that's how far they've fallen. You know, there's just nobody watching these shows. But that said, like, the actual tournament itself, I mean, all the, you know, through a pandemic and through injuries and all kinds of things happening, like, this is exactly the fight that this tournament was designed to build to, and it all happened. And you know, and it made, like, AJ McKee is probably their biggest homegrown star, and Patricio Pitbull is probably the second. And you know, and after the fight, AJ McKee's talking about wanting to go to UFC. So that kind of tells you where they are, you know. And but he's got that champions clause now, and he can't. So I think he has to fight three more times, or he has to sit out a year, is basically how that works. So you know, we'll see what happens there. But Patricio was also the lightweight champion going into this, and then he ended up vacating it, which, yeah, we'll probably, I think it's a news item coming up. They also announced that they're going to go to London, which, you know, sounded pretty optimistic, given that UFC had been trying to do a London show and didn't look like that was going to happen, and it didn't, but Bellator managed to pull it off. So good for them. And yeah, you know, you had those other shows, the Terrell Fortune, Matt Mitrione, like, you know, he's way past his prime, but he kind of got screwed in his last two fights there. Like, he had illegal blows in both of them against him, which directly led to the finish. The ref missed them in both cases. He was like screaming at the ref after this fight. And, I actually watched this one. So, and then he gets cut right after, which, you know, again, he was way past his prime anyways. And all those big UFC signings really didn't work out too well for Bellator. ESPN Plus increasing their pricing. They've got, I think, something like, is it like 6 million subscribers? Like, this has worked out really, really well for everybody involved. And even Fight Pass, like, I had somewhere this year, I don't know if we mentioned it on one of the previous episodes, but they've got like 750,000 subscribers just for Fight Pass. You know, so it's, the streaming business is a good one to get into.
Yeah, you brought that up on a previous episode. It's still it's still an incredible stat. We had talked about how, I don't know why people are watching. I haven't had it in a long time because I have my ESPN Plus subscription. I can go back and watch fights like pretty much anything I want for the most part. I mean, the pay-per-views, they get up there. The pay-per-views, they get up there like pretty, like, a couple weeks, I'd say, after, even if you don't buy them, they put the full pay-per-view up there like a couple weeks after they're done. Like, in archives wise, they just have a ton of stuff, and they have like all the old, like, UFC, was it UFC main event? Just all those, like, you know, shoulder programming shows and all that. I mean, there's so much stuff on
that's
there.
That's all on Plus?
Yeah, ESPN Plus. Yeah, you just dig, if you dig in the archives a bit, and really you don't have to dig that much. If you just go to where it says UFC, there's like all kinds of stuff there. Now, I don't, you know, they don't have like, you know, the full Strikeforce library, or like, I don't think they have like, you know, UFC 38 for something like that. But in terms of like, you know, more recent stuff between ESPN Plus and like the free fights they put up, I haven't had any need to go back and like watch other stuff. Now, you know, if I was interested in going to watch an old Pride show or something like that, that might make sense. But I think for a lot of people, it may just be kind of a set it and forget it type thing. Because they have, I think like most live subscription services are. And then also, you know, they have like these regional shows, and I can see if you're really into that, you could watch those or what have you. But, yeah, in terms of like kind of like my fandom and how I watch it, ESPN Plus is like A-okay for me.
Well, and maybe a lot of that's international, because everything you just described on ESPN Plus is what I get on UFC Fight Pass, and we don't have ESPN Plus. So,
I see. Yeah.
For me, it's there's tons of content there, and then we even get the early prelims are still on UFC Fight Pass internationally, not in the States.
That makes sense. So, makes sense.
So, but I mean, I can't imagine that being seven. Maybe. I mean, UFC is more popular than WWE, I think. And, you know, and that's probably, I think their international network numbers is like probably like around 500,000. So,
yeah.
Anyways, a little sidetrack there.
Yeah.
Cool month. And now we get to the boring stuff.
Yeah. So there's a little bit differently, because to me, there wasn't really any one story that stuck out. So I'm just going to go these in order. Kind of happened. Mm-hmm. We'll split up into chunks and talk about these. So Vadim Nemkov versus Anthony Rumble Johnson, and then Ryan Bader versus Corey Anderson. The light heavyweight Grand Prix semifinals were set for Bellator in October. Marvin Vettori versus Paulo Costa was announced to be headlining a UFC show in October. Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez, it was being retargeted for November. It was put off due to injury. And then it was actually confirmed in September that would be indeed happening. Nico Montano, the first ever UFC strawweight champion, never defended the title, won the title after that tough season, and just a string of years of just either failed weight cuts, injuries, problems, and then eventually released. One of the strangest, the opposite of serendipitous UFC title runs of all time, because she didn't really have a run for the title, but just very strange UFC career for Nico Montano. Chad Mendes announced he was, again, people don't retire, they just take breaks, coming out of retirement for BKFC. Kayla Harrison was announced she's going to be headlining a PFL playoff event. UFC 268 got Sean Strickland versus Luke Rockhold. Rose Namajunas versus Wiley Zhang 2 is confirmed, and also Gaethje versus Justin Chandler was confirmed as well. Fedor versus Tim Johnson was booked for Bellator Russia show. Names are putting their names in the hat, so to speak. Jake Hager of AEW and also Bellator. JDS was really pushing that fight, and also Josh Barnett. All those guys coming in afterwards saying they were disappointed they did not get that opportunity. UFC's COO said that legal streamers were taking money out of the fighters' pockets, not the sponsors. You know, they just say we're going to that's why we have to sign these big deals. And so, no, it's illegal streamers taking money out of the fighters' pockets, not promotion itself. UFC 265, Cyril Gane picking up a TKO win over Derek Lewis to pick up the interim heavyweight title. This, of course, due to the public standoff with current champion, reigning the undisputed champion, Francis Ngannou, which still continues to this day. There is some talk that Ngannou could be leaving after it hit the fight, the title unification fight, because apparently it's the last fight in his contract. It's just, for a guy that is a star like Ngannou and someone that could just really be a crossover star, to me, they're really just effing this up and over spite and money, which, again, you sign these huge deals. It's like, what are you doing here? Anyway, so Jose Aldo defeating Pedro Munhoz, continuing his sensational run as of late. And then Vicente Luque, again, an unheralded fighter, tapping out Michael Chiesa at 265. Jacare Souza retiring after a long run in both Strikeforce and UFC. One of those guys that, you know, never, I don't think he ever did get a title opportunity, at least in UFC. Nope. And one of those, you know, kind of one of those guys that just was not in the right place at the right time, seemed to earn it, but there was someone always with a bigger name ahead of him and never getting that opportunity there, but he called it quits. Diego Sanchez was talking with Bare Knuckle Fighting. Seems like a terrible idea. UFC 267 heading to Abu Dhabi in October. Speaking of bad ideas, Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz in a boxing match was announced for Triller Fight Club. Talk about more about that in a minute. Yoel Romero coming back after some eye issues to make his Bellator debut against Phil Davis. That was set for Bellator 266. Gable Stevenson of now WWE was talking to UFC and Bellator and WWE, kind of deciding what he was going to do, potentially both at the time. Sean O'Malley versus Frankie Edgar, also a potentially bad idea, was reportedly being discussed, and later was learned that Sean O'Malley turned that fight down. And Clarissa Shields was set for her second PFL fight later on in the year. Kick it over to you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff there. The UFC 265, I guess that, I mean, usually we get a title fight headlining a pay-per-view, and technically this was, but I mean, it didn't really feel like a pay-per-view because that was basically a fight night main event that they, you know, had to claim was a title fight in order to satisfy their contract with ESPN, because that their deal is that they have to have either a Conor fight or a title fight in the headline position. So this is why. And yeah, and you know, we talked about this a lot, I think last show, and it's been talked about to death, you know, and Ngannou, you know, should have fought Gon here, should have fought Lewis here, but he, you know, hadn't had enough time off, and he said he would fight in September, but they needed a headliner in August. And the only other fight they had originally scheduled for the card was the Nunes Pena fight, which ended up getting postponed. So if they hadn't booked this, like, the main event was Jose Aldo and Pedro Munhoz, and you know, I mean, that's a great fight, but it's not.
That's a fight night main event, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a pay-per-view prelims main event. you know, great fight, you know, and Jose Aldo looked incredible in that fight. And yeah, he's starting his career renaissance there. Jacare Souza, you brought up. I think that he may be one of the best, maybe the best fighter in UFC that's never fought for a title. Donald Cerrone comes to mind too. But Jacare, the closest he got was when he fought Yoel Romero at UFC 194 and lost the split decision that most people thought he won. And, you know, if he had won that, then he probably would have got a title shot, but it didn't happen. And yeah, like you said, former Strike Force, I believe light heavyweight champion. I could be wrong about that. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wasn't the champion. I'm thinking about somebody else.
Jacare?
Yeah. No. You know what? He wasn't. No. Oh, yeah. Maybe he was. Yeah.
Now I'm curious. What was he? Oh, my goodness. This is so looking. This is why I should have fight pass.
Yeah. You know, he definitely was. He definitely was.
He's middleweight champion. Former middleweight champion. You're right. Yep.
Yeah. Beat Tim Kennedy.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, nice fight, and then fought big, nice fight with Robbie Lawler, lost it to Luke Rockhold. So yeah, big name retiring there, and I think for him, you know, you say people don't often retire, you know, often come back, they're never really retired. I would be surprised if we saw Jacare again. I think he's got a nice career going and training, you know, jiu-jitsu and MMA in Brazil, and you know, he doesn't really need to fight again. Unlike Diego Sanchez, definitely should retire, but definitely won't retire. We'll definitely see him in bare knuckle fighting. I knew he would end up there. Fully expecting him to be fighting what's this guy, Mike Perry, at some point. But yeah, Kayla Harrison, you know, announcing the headlining. I don't know why that stuck out to me, but she just mowed through the competition there, and can't wait to see her in UFC.
Years ago, when Conor McGregor dusted Jose Aldo in, you know, 12 seconds, whatever it was, if you had said, and I'm stealing this thought from Morning Combat, because they had actually talked about this on their show. At that point, if you had said, which career is going to be better and have more longevity, Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo, we probably all would have said McGregor at that point. And now, all these years later, McGregor is obviously a bigger pay-per-view star, way more rich, all this stuff. But in terms of, like, the fight game itself, I mean, Jose Aldo, it's like, head and shoulders like times 10 above in terms of, you know, accomplishment and it's just like continually doing it and doing. He may never hold the title again in terms of longevity, and just the better like in-ring career. Aldo really mm-hmm. has had a nice rebound from what was at the time, just a devastating, devastating loss. It's crazy kind of see how those two careers were completely divergent from that point.
He could very well like hold a title in 2022. You know, I mean, that would not be the most surprising thing to happen in the last 5 years if that happened. I mean, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said it was surprising. But right now, the trajectory he's on and how he's looked in his last couple fights, like, he's not getting older. He's getting better.
He is. That's what it's all about, Paul. You get older, you get better. All the young kids
That's turn 50. It's the new 30.
That's right. Hashtag Grandpa Dez, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go over the rest of the month here. For Bellator 264, it was announced that Gegard Mousasi is going to be defending his 185-pound title against John Salter. Bigfoot Silva still being booked on shows for some reason, despite being knocked out like every time in his past like 8 fights. And I commissions, man. We'll get to commissions in a minute. Bellator 265, two guys just still fighting. Czech Congo submitting Sergey Kharitonov right as the fight ended. Again, this is a complete Bellator main event in 2021, if I've ever heard one. Brendan Schaub, former UFC heavyweight and obviously comedian, podcast host, all that good stuff. He pulled some kids from a car crash and actually helped save their life. This was like a crazy story. It was a driver that was charged with, I think someone actually died in the accident, just a reckless driver. But Brendan Schaub saving some kids from this car crash before it set on fire. So crazy story, like minutes before it exploded, like crazy shit. Roy McDonald, thing of MMA, out of the PFL playoffs, UFC Vegas 34, Jared Cannonier going into a decision win over Kelvin Gastelum. Misha Tate versus Kitlin Vieira was announced as going to be headlining an October show. However, it was later scrapped, actually announced in September, as Tate got the coronavirus. Damian Maia and Jimmy Rivera's contracts are both done with the UFC. I put Jimmy Rivera in there because I remember when he first signed, there was a lot of excitement about him because he had like a 26-fight win streak. It's just this insane long win streak outside. He was a New York area guy, and I think someone that they would have hoped really kind of, you know, took the mantle and kind of joined the, you know, the Frankie Edgar types and the Chris Weidman types kind of in the Northeast. Never really, you know, had some nice wins, but never really had that consistency once he got in the mix with a better competition. Phil Baroni announced his retirement after 19 years. Michael Bisping signed a 4-year commentary extension deal with the UFC. UFC Vegas 35, Giga Chikadze picking up a TKO win over Edson Barboza, and I think continuing to have a nice 2021, I think going to be on to bigger things potentially in 2022. Tyron Woodley lost a split decision to Jake Paul in a boxing match. I think probably people have heard about this ad nauseum. This was I put this in here just because Woodley's a former champion in the UFC, and just this, yeah, we'll just move on from this. A lot of people bought it, but it was just a complete circus, and yeah, we'll see kind of how the celebrity boxing-esque things go in the year ahead. Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena was rescheduled to UFC 269. McGregor said he had 2 fights left on his contract, which who knows if he was telling the truth or not. Again, lots of talk, the Poirier talk throughout the whole month, just continuing kind of a lot of the BS coming out of that July fight. And also, this was an interesting headline because I remember this story. So remember, Kat Zingano was released from her UFC contract. This was back in 2020. And it was just kind of random. It said that she had turned down a fight, and she had said, you know, there's a lot more to this story. And it was one of those things, like, you hear that a lot, and then you kind of forget about it, right? But what happens is she sued Halle Berry for damages over that film, the MMA movie that's out now, Bruised. I think it might be a Netflix, straight to Netflix thing.
Yeah.
So apparently she was offered a role in that movie at the time. And they were she had met with Halle Berry. They were talking about it, and the she was going to be in it. And so at the time, her agent said, "It's probably best if you don't." UFC offered her a fight. They said, "It's probably best if you don't take this fight because they're going to be doing the movie, and in case you get hurt and all this stuff." So she declined the fight. She gets cut because of that, and then she doesn't end up being in the movie. So she's like, you know, WTF. So she's suing Halle Berry over damages, basically because she's kind of blaming that on this. So it was kind of just one of those interesting, like, like footnotes to this thing that we heard like a year prior. But, oh, there's more to the story. Well, there was. So, I mean, who knows what comes out of that. Thoughts on any of that, Paul?
Yeah, the last one was weird. I think you, I don't really have much to add. You kind of laid it out pretty clearly there. McGregor having two fights left. I mean, whether it is or not, I mean, there's nowhere else. If he's going to fight, it's going to be in UFC. I mean, he could go to boxing, I suppose, but the UFC's already kind of shown that they'll let him do that. But he's not, he can't go fight for anyone else. Like, nobody's going to be able to pay him the kind of money he's making in UFC. And I don't think he could promote himself and make that kind of money.
He's not going to PFL, you're thinking?
The $1 million tournament?
Jungle fighting championships or anything like that in Brazil?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe WWE. They'd probably pay him too, but not anything close to what he's getting. You mentioned Rivera and Damian Maia. Rivera, I think, he kept that win streak going for a little while. And then I remember he had a main event and he lost. And then that kind of kicked off a losing streak. And then from that point on, he's been kind of like 50-50 and, you know, probably losing more than he won in the last few years. And usually they cut those kind of guys. And Damian Maia, I think we all knew he was done after his last fight, but that again is, you know, I talked about Jacare as being maybe the best guy to never fight for a title. I think Maia did fight for a title, but so he may be one of the best guys to never win a title. Mm-hmm. You know, very accomplished grappler and submission guy, and you know, a really good representative of the sport, and kind of went out well, I think. You know, he didn't look terribly bad in any of his last few fights. He wasn't winning, but he wasn't getting smoked either. Some of these names, Czech Congo, Bigfoot Silva, you know, Phil Baroni, like, I'm wondering is it 2021 or, you know, 2002, that we're reviewing right now? I think the Bigfoot fight is fighting like in a couple weeks. Eagles. Is it Eagles fighting championship?
Khabib's from
Rashad's fighting on that show too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Commissions, man. We'll talk more about commissions here in a second, but it was,
it's Florida.
Yeah.
Wild West.
Anything goes, especially terrible brain damage. You're mentioning, what was I just thinking? McGregor time. Can't remember Maia? Maia. Yes. So Maia, I remember the thing I think about with Maia, you mentioned title fights. I believe he fought for a title twice. The first was the infamous Abu Dhabi show. You remember that? Yeah. The Boar Fest against Anderson Silva. This is kind of like it's so much for those people that are relatively new to the sport. I don't know how many people are listening actually are, but at the time, so this was Abu Dhabi before they didn't go over there at all. And this was I think Flash Entertainment might've been the group, and they owned 10%+, give or take, of the UFC at the time. This was the Fertitta era. And so they went over there, and of course they're in front of these new investors for the first time and all this stuff. And then that fight happens. There was hardly any media over there, but Ariel Helwani was there. And this is when Ariel Helwani and Dana White were actually, buddies, so to speak. And I remember Ariel got basically one of the only interviews with Dana. He used to do those one-on-ones for 10, 15 minutes after he would do the press conference. And he, of course, was ripping into Silva and all this stuff. But this was like a must-see interview that they had. He was basically just saying, Anderson Silva, he was going to make, I remember this was the infamous, I'm going to make it right speech. And I was like, well, how's he going to make it right? He never really did make it right, but it was, I remember that came out of it. He was talking about they would cut Anderson Silva if this happened again, or put him the first fight on the prelims. Like, Dana White was pissed. Go back and find this if you've never seen this. This was a interesting interview, and just reminds me of such a much different time in terms of media covering the sport, in terms of, just the Dana White Ariel relationship back then, which was obviously a lot better. And I think we got a lot more interesting information out of things at times. It was just when I think of Maia, I think of that fight first. And the longevity that he had in his career and, people that they would put him up against that they were expecting to be kind of a litmus test stepping stone. And Maia would pull out victories and was kind of one of those guys you had to be careful who they booked certain talents against because you didn't want them potentially get beat, but it's kind of, one of those weird things. But that's what I kind of think with Damian Maia for sure.
I'll tell you about that fight. Like, you brought up, newer fans and stuff. I wasn't actually, like, I wasn't a huge MMA fan at the time of that fight. I remember hearing about it because I was, you know, I was on the Observer site and I was listening to Wrestling Observer Radio and stuff. So Dave would talk about it and I would watch the odd show, you know, if it was free, but I wasn't paying for a pay-per-view unless it had like Brock or GSP on it. And so I definitely did not buy that show. But when I heard about that, and then I used to have Access TV and Chael Sonnen was on the studio show that they were doing. And he was building up, trying to build up a fight with Anderson Silva and talking about how boring this was and everything. And Chael sold me on buying the UFC 117 and that amazing fight they had. And I'll tell you, that fight probably did as much to hook me on UFC as just about anything. No so kidding. It was indirectly the fight that you're talking about led to me becoming a much, much more invested fan, you know, Chael playing off of it. So
interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mine was 2005 Ultimate Fighter after Raw. That was my gateway in. I knew of the UFC beforehand, obviously, because I used to play one of the UFC video games with my friend. You know, we used to do Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. Like I knew Liddell, Ortiz, and KOTOR, and that was about it. And I saw a UFC 1 or 2. I rented it a videotape back in those days. I remember watching it and being like thoroughly bored. I'm like, because I was big into pro wrestling, and I'm like, this is just boring. It just didn't do anything for me. So it's funny.
I rented 5, and that was horrible.
Oh, that was like, was that the Severn?
I think so.
Severn Shamrock, the one.
Yeah, I may have the number. Ryan is probably pulling his hair out right now. Whatever it was, yeah, it's the horrible one. The Severn Shamrock.
Yeah, I think it's the Detroit punch. Show. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one I happened to rent, and then it turned me off of UFC until, 2007 maybe, you know, that I started even just giving it a chance again, and then, you know, but I wasn't going to pay for it. So, you know, I would just watch the free shows, and then, you know, the Chael sold me on pay-per-views, and then, you know, I probably bought almost everyone since.
Yeah, I remember there was, we had bars that would show the big pay-per-views, because obviously when it started getting big, it was kind of like how poker got really big. Like all of a sudden all these people were playing and interested in watching all this stuff. And granted, you know, UFC has had more staying
Chris Moneymaker.
Yeah. That's right. Chris Moneymaker. Yeah. That was the gateway. And so, you know, the bars were just like packed, and you'd say there was a couple different bars that would do pay-per-views and stuff. And it's just fun to go with your friends, cause they were kind of interested in certain personalities, and just the more and more and more they added events, you know, it became harder for people to keep up. And you have obviously a lot of fans have stuck around, but it's like different now. We've talked about that, you know, ad nauseum on this show before. But yeah, it's just kind of, it's interesting to see how, like, you know, one little thing leads us to talk about another, talk another, and we get nostalgic about an era that was just less MMA, felt more impactful, but to see everything ended up turning out okay, because, you know, look where the sport is now, right?
Absolutely.
So let's go to September. Again, this is kind of a fairly even month in terms of news. Probably the biggest thing in the month. UFC 266, this was a really fun show. Alexander Volkanovski defending his title successfully against Brian Ortega. This was a really fun fight. And Ortega, a fun contender, strikes out again with his effort to get a championship. Valentin Shevchenko, big TKO win over Lauren Murphy there to end that one and just continue her run of dominance as champion. Robbie Lawler versus Nick Diaz 2. This fight was made middleweight days before. It was supposed to be 170 pounds, and Diaz requested it be moved up to 185 pounds, which sent alarm bells off with a lot of people, like, okay, what's going on here? Lawler picking up the win by stoppage when basically Diaz got punched, got a couple other punch, took another couple of shots, was down on the ground, and referee's kind of like, do you want to get up? And he's just like, no, I'm good. And they stopped the fight. It was just kind of entertaining seeing Diaz back in there again. You know, it wasn't, I don't think, a great fight. But again, it kind of the question of how prepared was Diaz going into it. There's a kind of a lot of, you know, headlines and stories about that afterwards of, like, you know, how interested was he? You know, again, the weight thing leading into it, that was the whole thing. So, yeah, it was just, again, a Nick Diaz fight week is always a fun and interesting one. And this was no doubt there. And then Jessica Andrade picking up a big TKO win over Cynthia Calvillo. Calvillo, one of these Dana White favorites from, you know, a couple of years prior, thought he was good, really, really had something there, and she's kind of fallen off the grid, so to speak, in terms of a future star, like she was being positioned. But yeah, this was a fun show in a lot of ways, and yeah, the UFC again, the champions Volkanovski and Shevchenko retaining. We had Nick Diaz back. It was a little bit of everything. Nice smorgasbord card.
Yeah, I was just amazed at the finish of Lawler Diaz. Like I that's just not something that you really expected to see. The Diaz just kind of quit like that. And the second round, like, you know, I think he arguably won the first round. Like it was a really, really good fight. Like they both were just throwing like crazy. Diaz outstruck Lawler by quite a bit, but Lawler was landing the harder shots. Diaz, you know, was kind of doing his, you know, slap fighting, you know, that he normally does. And then in the third round, he got tagged and went down, and he just, yeah, no, I'm done. Like, you know, it was very casual, and Lawler, you know, like backed off and okay, we're done, you know, and then, you know, I was expecting Diaz to try to figure out a way to say he won the fight. But you know, it's kind of hard to say that here. He just, like, he didn't seem like, and then after the fight, he had that weird promo where he said, like, I didn't even really want to fight and I'm not sure why I'm here. Yep. And it was almost scary in a way, but then, you know, it's Nick Diaz. So, I mean, you know, you worry about like concussion or something, but it could just be Diaz brain. You know, and the rest of the fight, I mean, you know, the rest of the show, everything kind of went according to schedule. Valentina is clearly now the most dominant champion, certainly for females, and arguably overall, you know. Kamaru Usman would be maybe the only one that would give her a run in terms of, you know, being the most dominant champion in their division. And not a lot to say there. Just that Lawler Diaz, like, again, it felt like the main event, even though we had two title fights after it.
Yep, very true. Let's see, go to the rest of the news of the first part of the month. Joe Rogan got COVID. UFC 269 got Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier for the lightweight title. We just talked about Dustin Poirier's path to getting that opportunity. And also Brandon Moreno versus Deiveson Figueiredo 3 was also going to be scheduled for UFC 269 in December as well. UFC signed, I put this in there because I thought it was interesting, UFC signing Alex Pereira, who is the only man to knock out Israel Adesanya, two-time glory champ, and they put him on the UFC 268 card, which was ended up being a pretty high profile card. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting when there's headlines about certain guys that they sign and the positioning of where they put them their first fight out. So clearly they think they have someone with Pereira. And in our year-end show, we'll talk more about that fight, his debut. So we're kind of alluding to this. Vitor Belfort, instead of Oscar De La Hoya, who got COVID, Vitor Belfort was signed, the former UFC champion, signed to fight Evander Holyfield instead of De La Hoya. But he wouldn't be able to get licensed in Florida, Holyfield, that is. So they decided to move the fight, the whole event, to Florida. And we just talked about Florida's commissions. Donald Trump, Jorge and Masvidal were on commentary. This sounds like an Onion article, right? Donald Trump was going to be signed to be on commentary. Anyways, this was the same show as Tito Ortiz and Anderson Silva. Ortiz missed weight pretty badly. Got knocked out flat by Anderson Silva in like 90 seconds. Belfort won, defeated Holyfield like a standing TKO win in like the first round. This kind of strange. There was this back and forth about, are these fights exhibitions or are these fights professional bouts? They kept saying professionals, and afterwards it was learned they ended up being exhibitions after all. So it's like just, everything just seems so shady. This is all Triller. And then the Triller people saying that they propose a $30 million winner-take-all fight between Jake Paul and Vitor Belfort. Of course, Jake Paul with Showtime at this point. Just a complete shit show, truly an exhibition, a circus in all aspects here. UFC Vegas 36, Derek Brunson submitting Darren Till. Darren Till just doesn't seem like he's ever going to get to that level a lot of people expected when they really put the rocket on him after the Cerrone win in England, I believe it was. He ended up going into the fight with a torn ACL. That was learned after the fact. Paddy Pimblett, a guy that has been talked about kind of a lot in MMA circles and kind of a when is he going to get to the UFC. And he ended up getting the UFC and won his debut by first round TKO. And he's a very confident guy, predicting a lot of big things for himself in the octagon. CM Punk officially retired from MMA. No big surprise, as he was signed with AEW and out of the USADA program and all that stuff. So, yeah, officially retiring from mixed martial arts. Stephen Bonner continued his sad meltdown. Had a video we posted over issues with pain pills. He's fighting with medical staff, police, all those type of things. Just a real sad decline for Stephen Bonner. Quote, unquote, scumbag media. Paul, they were to blame for fighters thinking they're underpaid, according to Dana White. I did not realize that they were making a spinoff TV series of Warrior, the very underrated MMA movie with Tom Hardy that came out several years ago, and Nick Nolte. It's excellent. I'm sure everyone watching, listening to this has heard that or watched that movie rather, but they're making a TV spinoff, I guess, with a female fighter and a male fighter, a couple families, something like that. Anyway, Daniel Cormier was going to be featured in that show. It was announced. Gable Stevenson decided to take the WWE offer versus a spot on Dana White's Contender Series. That was the report that came out at the time. Kyuji Horiguchi signed with Bellator, and however, he's still the Ryzen 135-pound champion. Mayhem Miller, a big surprise here, arrested for felony domestic violence. Seems every year we do these, there's more and more headlines about Mayhem Miller doing something stupid. And we talked about this earlier, UFC fighters' OnlyFans accounts becoming a real thing and a real way to make money. Jessica Andrade is making money. Jessica I making money. I guess everyone named Jessica is on this, but I guess. But yeah, find ways to make money elsewhere. And then... Again, another Onion article, practically. Conor McGregor and Machine Gun Kelly got into a scuffle at the MTV Video Music Awards, and then McGregor had this terrible first pitch at Wrigley Field before a Cubs game. Yeah, just quite a year for old Conor M. Thoughts on any of that, Paul?
I was very I had never heard of Alex Pereira, so when I heard about that, I was very intrigued, and the debut did not disappoint. They're definitely got something there, and hopefully, I think they're going to try to build to a rematch with Israel Adesanya a little bit down the road. We can all look forward to that. Punk retiring from MMA didn't surprise anyone. Still, again, you see him commenting on the shows on Twitter, and he's obviously still into it. I imagine he probably still trains, but he clearly wasn't going to fight again. I couldn't believe, that UFC, actually, if they were serious about getting Gable Stevenson, that, the best they could do was a Dana White Contender Series spot. Like, I know, you don't want to necessarily have him come right into the UFC like CM Punk did, but, maybe a developmental kind of deal where you're paying the guy just to keep training, kind of like what WWE did, with their NIL thing. Yeah. That would have been, if you really were serious about wanting him, but maybe what they're thinking is, he'll get bored with wrestling in a few years and we'll get him then. If they're interested in him, or maybe they just didn't think he was interested in fighting. And again, the thing that struck me when you said Mayhem Miller, I mean, again, in this section we had, we're back to the 2005, Stephen Bonner, Mayhem Miller, and Tito Ortiz, Vitor Belfort. It's these guys just don't retire. And Patty Pimblett. Oh my gosh. I had seen him on Cage Warriors a couple times, but he just had a great debut. A lot of people would have missed this because this was in the afternoon of All Out. So a lot of wrestling fans probably maybe skipped this show, but he cut just this great promo. The guy looks like a young Owen Hart. The hair, yeah, and his promo was just incredible. It was very reminiscent of like early Conor McGregor, and if his fighting ability is anything close to his promo ability, they got a big star on their hands in a couple of years. So there's a guy to keep your eye out on in 2022 and beyond.
Do you think that UFC needs a more official developmental deal with like a legacy, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, they need an official thing, but I mean, they've done it before. Like they did it with Greg Hardy. They've done it with one or two other people, I think. But yeah, I think like an actual, I mean, I don't necessarily know if you need like, to have like a developmental league, per se, but if there's certain individuals that you're going to pay, you're going to give them UFC money to fight on, legacy cards. You know, if they want to get these guys right from college, you know, that's the way to go. But maybe that they're thinking we don't need to do that. You know, but that's kind of what Bellator does with, did with like Aaron Pico and, you know, I think a few others, even AJ McKee, like he started his career right in Bellator. Like his first fight was Bellator and he's 18-0 now and every single fight's been in Bellator. So they basically just fed him opponents like right from the start. And I think that was the idea with CM Punk too, you know, that they were going to do that. And even a Mickey Gall, like he came in with like a 1-0 record, you know, and he's been fighting, you know, UFC ever since. So I think for certain guys, they'll do it, but I don't know if that's something that they necessarily need to have like a quote unquote system. I think the system's there. They can just take certain guys that they see and girls that they see potential in and just bring them along very carefully if they want to.
Yeah, maybe the case that they didn't really see him as a game changer for them, so they didn't really want to give the Greg Hardy deal, so to speak. Just kind of interesting because again, how much WWE coveted him and has featured him, and maybe he was just not that interested in going into MMA. That could be possible.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think maybe they was just playing them to get a better deal from you, from WWE.
Wasn't there another guy that played WWE versus UFC? What, another heavyweight?
And I think he's good friends with Gable Stevenson too.
Oh yeah, interesting how that works, huh? Maybe there's an maybe there's an advocate involved somewhere along the way.
Yeah,
let's finish off the month here. One Fighting Championship. It was revealed they were had lost $40 million in 2020. Yet were claiming big profits. They had some weird like $400 million money transfer of like they sold their assets to a U.S. company that was still in their name. It was just really, really strange story with One Fighting Championship, as they always are. You mentioned this earlier, Carlos Condit calling it a career, and also Joe Benavidez calling it a career. Another one of these guys that had a long UFC run, many title opportunities, kind of fit the team alpha male stereotype of always getting to the title fight but never actually winning. And just but regardless, one that, you know, good guys in the sport, great guys in the sport, people really loved him, and he decided to hang it up early, or not early, but after his latest defeat. Demetrius Johnson, speaking of Joe Benavidez, take a 4-round mixed martial arts, mixed rules bout rather, against a Muay Thai fighter. That was announced. It's really strange post UFC career for Johnson, and I hope he's getting paid. But talk about an all-time great that just fell off the face of the earth, fighting-wise, after he left. Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker 2 was being announced as going to be, or it was learned is going to be targeted for January. Dan Hooker, we mentioned this in a previous show. His quest, his year in general was crazy, but he had a quest to get to UFC 266 to fight. There was a big social media push behind getting a travel visa request approved. With his government in the United States, eventually it was approved. Then there was a chance it might not be approved. Anyway, he made it, and later on in the month took a short notice fight as well, because since he was over in the United States, he might as well. I put this in here. Roosevelt Roberts was cut from UFC, and I throw this in here because I remember when he fought initially, there was UFC put like a lot of buzz kind of behind his debut. It was on the prelims, and Joe Rogan was really building it up like he could potentially be a pretty big force at lightweight, and then eventually, you know, lost 3 fights in a row and was cut. And just kind of a note of like, I always take notice. We're mentioning that, you know, the glory fighter that they signed earlier, like beware of hyperbole and who they get behind, because it may not necessarily play out, but there's certain guys they like, and then for some reason or another, it just doesn't work, and all of a sudden they're out on the street. So I just kind of threw that in here. He's a young guy. He could come back at some point, but I just remember them putting a lot of steam behind him on the broadcast, and ended up not working out. We learned that another new MMA promotion potentially becoming, called the World Fighting League, complete with a union, a CBA, you know, all the type of stuff we've heard before. So I guess we'll hear more about this in 2022. Bellator 268, Anthony Rumble Johnson was out of the light heavyweight Grand Prix fight against Vadim Nemkov due to, I believe, was COVID. He had some sort of illness that had him freaked out. And then Phil Davis picking up a split decision win over the debuting Yoel Romero. UFC Vegas 37 results, Anthony Smith submitting Ryan Spann rather quickly. John Jones was close to making his heavyweight debut. He said because UFC, apparently Dana White had approved, or they've been working on a guaranteed pay-per-view based pay increase that would give him some more money there. His fight with Alexander Gustafsson was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. And then later that night, he was arrested on battery domestic violence charges. There was a run-in with the cops outside. He was charged with essentially damaging a police vehicle because he slammed his head into it. We wrote about this story. The charges, he was able to plea his way out of it. The domestic violence charges were dropped. It's just it's a really shitty story for what we know is a really shitty person, to be completely honest. Afterwards, saying he's no longer using alcohol. Really sad decline for John Jones. This was just the story about this, you know, his wife's lips and bleeding. And it just was scary in a lot of ways, sad in a lot of ways. And he's got kids, man. And, you know, when your kid is asking the hotel clerk allegedly to call the police, like, I don't know. I just hope that something worse doesn't happen over the, I have this feeling in my gut, like, I don't know. All these things aren't just happening independently. There's something wrong going on there. He's got brothers in the NFL. His parents, I believe, are still alive. Like the UFC, like, I don't know. To me, like, you just get in there and fix this before something really bad happens. PVZ open to a MMA return. Big surprise. That should be interested in fighting for Bellator. Aljamain Sterling was out of his UFC 267 bantamweight title rematch with Peter Yan due to injury, and the UFC pivoted and made Corey Sandhagen versus Yan for the interim belt there instead. Jose Aldo versus Rob Font and Derek Lewis versus Chris Daukaus were targeted both for December main events. Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown welcomed their first daughter together. Jared Cannonier versus Derek Brunson, Greg Hardy versus Alexi Olenek. Dominic Cruz versus Pedro Munhoz were booked for future shows. And then I was interested to see that the Mark Hunt versus UFC and Dana White lawsuit is still going on. Thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I was wondering why you mentioned Roosevelt Roberts and then, the way you explained it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he'd been finished in his last three fights in UFC. So that's, you know, usually when that happens, they're going to cut you. But he's still really young. And if he picks up a few wins on the regional scene, we'll probably see him again. I wouldn't put too much stock in that World Fighting League. I'd be very shocked if they ever even have a show. There's so much content out there right now. And, and there's more than anybody can possibly watch. I mean, we've on this show alone, we've talked about ONE. We've talked about Bellator. We've talked about Triller. We haven't even talked about Combate Americas, which allegedly is the number two promotion in the United States, if you believe Campbell McLaren. there's and then all those regional shows. I mean, there's so much MMA and then, you know, and that doesn't even count Triller, you know, which is, you know, a hybrid of boxing and MMA in a way, with a lot of names from both. So, we talked about Condit earlier. Yeah, there's not much. The John Jones thing, I mean, I'm like you. I'm in the same camp. I'm hoping for the best and expecting the worst, I guess, is what's going to happen. And Paige VanZant, it's funny because you at the start of the show, we talked about how she claims she's making more money, you know, from her OnlyFans. And if that's the case, then why does she even want to fight? I mean, she kind of got beat up a bit in bare knuckle fighting, and now she's going to go back to MMA where she wasn't terribly successful. I imagine she'll do better in Bellator than she did in UFC. The quality of competition isn't quite there, but what kind of money is she going to make? And, you know, why? Like, you know, why take a chance if you're making that much money on your OnlyFans? I guess maybe you just need to keep your name out there in order to keep that money coming in, maybe. That's probably what it is, actually.
Well, Paul, we've come to an end of another three-month stretch, July, August, September. As we hurtle towards the end of this crazy year, 2021. Before I let you go, obviously you can hear you on Fight Game Media in the Clinch podcast with Ryan Frederick, as you mentioned. You can follow you on Twitter, Paul Ace Fontaine. The Grandpa Dez YouTube show, which we've talked about, you can find that on YouTube for free. You write for us, you write for Fight Game. Anything else to plug?
I mean, you pretty much covered it all, I think. I do the Dynamite show on Fight Game Media as well with Jeff Hawkins, which is on the Patreon, which you can get for $5 a month. And there's pretty much one show a day that drops every day on audio on that. And then we also have the free feed that In the Clinch is on. And if you want a special show we had today, and you had this guy on yesterday. Lance Storm. He was my guest for the Christmas Eve episode. We had a great chat for about 30 minutes and just a different conversation from Lance than you've ever heard before. Very little wrestling. We talked about a lot of different things. One thing I thought was funny, the opening part of the show, he mentioned how he had made his own coffee, but he was planning on going to Tim Hortons later because the app was offering 30% off on hot beverages, which works out to about 70 cents on a large coffee. But I'm the same way. Like, if you can save money, it's not what you make, it's what you save. And so Lance was going to head out to Tim Hortons so he could get a 70 cents off on his large coffee.
Nice. It's funny. You're like a four, WWE star, lived to tens of thousands of people over the course of a career, and still cares about saving 70 cents. That's good.
Absolutely. I mean, it's true. And Brian Alvarez, I just heard him yesterday, was saying the best advice he gives to people is save your money. So there you go.
Yeah, he is pretty cheap, so I don't doubt that at all.
I know. What he pays us.
That's exactly right. Right. You got to pay for that gold boat somehow, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Merry Christmas, Paul, to you and the whole family.
You too.
And we will talk to you ahead. Hopefully everything's a great Christmas for everyone, you and the grandkids, regular kids, all that stuff. And Merry Christmas to everyone else as well. And we'll talk to you again. What am I doing? I'm doing my intro with you. Yeah, I'll just do my intro right now. Screw it. Until next time, Paul Fontaine, insert catchphrase here. All right. Big thanks to Paul Fontaine for stopping by, and thanks to all of you for listening. Again, hopefully you had an awesome Christmas holiday if that's what you celebrate, and are looking ahead to the week ahead, time off, whatever you do, hopefully you do it and have a great time. And I just watched the new James Bond movie, relatively new, I guess, No Time to Die. I liked it. I had one of my friends said he thought it was okay. He and I have pretty simpatico when it comes to movies and all that good stuff. And I thought it was pretty good, entertaining. 2 hours and 40 some odd minutes with the credits and everything. And yeah, I thought it's one of those ones you probably can split up over a couple nights. My wife was really interested in watching it. We made it through 45 minutes night one, and I think probably about 30 minutes night two. And she was out. She said, "You can just finish it," after she woke up after about an hour. So yeah, so if you have a spouse or loved one that watches movies, does the same thing, I can certainly relate. Happens a lot, especially we're watching TV shows and always like the last 10 minutes. She's like, "I got to go to bed." It's like, you can't just wait the other 7 minutes. I promise it'll be like five with the credits. No, not at all. So yeah, so watch that. Let's see what else I've been watching lately. Hawkeye, finished that on Marvel, kind of a Christmas theme. I thought that was good. I've really noticed about this TV season is this is the first one where it hasn't been a lot of like top shows that have taken a winter break, you know, like a lot of shows had the, I remember Walking Dead did this, it's basically the half season finale or some the fall finale they would do, or the winter finale, those type of things. But that really hasn't happened with TV, which I kind of like, because I think it finally kind of dawned to these executives and what have you, that people just watch stuff all the time. There's no real such thing as people taking time off and not watching TV, because especially with devices and, you know, being able to get stuff, if you stay like a vacation house for a week or something like that, you can pretty much bring your streaming services with you, even on the TVs that they have there. So there's really no, the arms race to just get more and more content up there. There's no real benefit to take a break. So yeah, so we're watching Yellowstone, obviously 1883, which is the Yellowstone prequel spinoff series. Watching that, Mayor of Kingstown. We're a few weeks behind on that. Man in the Arena, the Tom Brady series, and ESPN. I'm just rattling off random stuff that we're trying to find time for. The Dexter finale, or the Dexter, this kind of reboot, or not reboot, but the final season, I guess you could say. We're watching that. And a couple other series as well. We get about an hour TV a night together to watch. We'll just watch stuff like Curb Your Enthusiasm, things like that. We'll check out. And I'm trying to put my wife off on watching the Sex and the City return. I'm not really like into that, but she watches a lot of my stuff, so it's I guess I have to let her watch something of that she might want to check out every now and again. And also The Great is a show that she really wanted to watch and I got into. Really like season one, and probably going to start season two here pretty soon after we wrap up Semi Sutter series. We have a few like Narcos Mexico, the final season. We have a few of those to watch. It's ones like, it's all of a sudden, it's kind of like, you know, what do we feel like watching tonight that's really going to be interesting? And some of these other series kind of like slow burn to the end. So it's not really, you know, super exciting. So, yeah. So great, great sell job for some of those shows. But yeah, let me know what you're watching at Josh Nason on Twitter. And yeah, let's, we'll call it good there. We have, what do we got? September. And I'm trying to get September, October, November done this week. Should have at least two of those done for the, to wrap up, kind of get this series finished, wrapped up. And yeah, I can have everything ready for December, and then Q4 and MMA done the week after that. And then I'm going on vacation. So good, good incentive to get that stuff done and wrap up 2021. So until we talk again a couple next days, that makes a lot of sense. Good English. Again, time for me to go to bed, everyone. Insert catchphrase here.